How important is harmony? That's a good question, isn't it? How important is harmony in our life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. How important is harmony in our life? Well, who's going to stop the argument first? Who's going to give in first to decide that, hey, it's not worth it? Who's going to put down their guns? Who's going to put down their anxious thoughts? Who's going to put down their unhappy attitudes? Who's going to put down their responses that irritate others, as well as themselves? Who's going to do that first? Well, it's not a matter of who's going to do it first. Is that, do it. Now, when these things come into our life, we have a choice. If we could be objective about it, and we can, if we could be objective about it, we could look at the circumstances that we're facing, and we could say to ourselves, now, I know that this is bringing these results. Now, do I want those results in my life? Do I want that attitude in my life? Do I want those experiences in my life? Now, if I speak unkindly to someone, they're going to speak unkindly to me. If I speak kindly to someone, they're going to speak kindly to me. Now, what's the most important thing for me to do? Is it most important for me to speak kindly of myself, kindly of my world, or to let others speak kindly of me? And wait until someone else speaks kindly of me before I speak kindly to them. Well, is that the kind of creator you are? Are you going to let someone else do it first? We make this wonderful statement, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Not because it is something we want to be true, but it's something that is true. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. How did peace begin with me? Well, when I have peaceful thoughts, I create peaceful people in my world. When I have peaceful attitudes, I create peaceful attitudes in my world. When I have peaceful environment about me in my mental attitude, by my choice of the music that I listen to, the words that I speak, the people I associate with, the activities that I engage in, all of those things are indicative of whether I like peace or not, whether I like harmony or not, whether I like to live in a blessing world rather than a cursing world. How often we live in a cursing world merely because we think that they deserve it. And who deserves it? Nobody, really. Why do we do these things to ourselves? We know we're doing it to ourselves. We know that we are the creator of this situation. We know that no matter what we do, no matter how we say it, no matter where we are, we're going to put causes in motion that are going to be very, very, very unhappy. And with these unhappy causes, what's going to happen to us is we're going to experience some very unhappy experiences. Is this what you want in your world? Is this what you want in your life experience? Is this what I want? Now, yeah, now we're getting down to barrels here. Is this what I want? You see, I really don't care what anybody else wants, thinks, is, or whatever there is. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm the creator of everybody in my world, and everybody thinks just like I do. I'm the creator of every condition in my world, and every condition reflects back exactly what I think about myself. I am the creator. Now, if I'm going to say that I'm the creator, then I'm going to have to take responsibility for things. And this is what so many of us fail to do. We do not want to take responsibility for our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And regardless, we will and always must. No matter how minute they may be, no matter how wonderful they may be, no matter how misunderstood they may be, If we would really stop and think, if we'd really stop and think and realize that there is not an action on the face of the earth that has not been predicated by first a thought by somebody, by first a desire by somebody. Now, if we're going to create people in the world inharmonious with one another, at war with one another, in conflict with one another, then we have put a big cause in motion. Now, how are we going to change that cause and put a new cause into motion? How are we going to bring about a new cause? That cause is pretty powerful. That cause is pretty overwhelming. That cause is so demanding and so so terrible that it would take a terrible cause to change it. And it's been in work, it's been in effect for so long. Evolution is a concept that's been in effect for so long. We think that everything has to evolve, that it cannot be our spoken word on this immediate moment that brings this immediate response to it. But that's the way the principle works. The principle has been working over the years where the cause has been put into motion for people to evolve, for things to happen in our lives, for us to be more intelligent and utilize more things and not have to reinvent the wheel every time we want to come up with a new experience in our life. No, we don't have to. Now, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This has been going on for a long time. It's been in my family history. It's been in my experience personally. I have been very mean and hateful to people, and so therefore people have been mean and hateful to me. Now how do I, in one fell swoop, stop it? Well, the word one fell swoop is the word. In one action, I stop it. But I don't stop it. I don't stop it. In one action, I put a new cause in motion. I start being the kind of person that I admire. I start being the kind of loving, unconditionally loving person that I admire. Now, others may or may not accept that immediately, but in my consciousness, if I am the kind of person that I admire, it won't matter whether other people accept it or not. It's the only action other people have to go upon. If I am unconditionally loving, regardless of any circumstance, then everyone must respond to me as an unconditionally loving person because that's all I am. I will not retaliate. I will not revenge. I will not in any way go back against someone who does not respect my unconditional love because if I am unconditional love, that's just the way I am. Now, I'm not going to expect anyone else to change. I'm not going to expect anyone else to admire me for what I'm doing. I am only going to be who I am. And when I am who I am, I have no capacity to object, no capacity to feel unhappy. Now, let me make this little statement. Some people in our world have perfect pitch. They have a ability with their ear to hear the perfect pitch. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And they sing or act or write or compose in perfect pitch. Now, these people sometimes, with their nose in the air and their perfect pitch, listen to other people with a lack of perfect pitch, and they say they don't have a perfect pitch. Now, if the person with a perfect pitch really were a perfect pitch and really were a magnificent perfect pitch, he would hear the perfect pitch of the person who is on a different pitch than his. He would hear the pitch, which might be sound raucous, might be sound out of line with his particular note, and he would just say, oh, that is that A sharp, that's a B flat. And you see, he would not say, oh, that's the wrong note. Because the person who sang it, the person who played it on the piano, the person who made that sound, intended that sound. Now, the music of the Polynesian peoples is quite different from our own in the Western United States here, in the Western world. And the activity that goes on when you hear that music, at first it strikes you as discordant. And you want to say, oh, come on, get with it. And the more you listen to the music, the more you realize it has a place, and it is harmonious, and it is in perfect pitch. It is always the same harmonious, inharmonious notes that are being played, and pretty soon you realize that that is a harmony all of its own. And it is not bad or good. It may not be ours, and we don't have to listen to it if it isn't. And if we want to broaden our scope and include that musical rendition that is put out by the Polynesian peoples, great. And that's beautiful. But at no time do we judge them. At no time do we say it is bad. At no time do we say that it is discordant. At no time do we say that it is out of line. Because indeed it is in line. It is harmonious. It is beautiful. How important is harmony? Harmony is when I like myself and I flow with the divine within me. Harmony is when I am at peace in my world and all about me. Anyone can be in harmony. Anyone can select. But whoever you are is so obvious that there's not much you can do about it. And if you are a beautiful being, then you will be shown forth as a beautiful being in everything you do, in everything I do, because I'm always talking about myself. I live in my ideal world, and my world is good and very good, and I am happy and very happy with my world. Harmony is important, but harmony within myself. That harmony is in you too. When you live unconditional love, when you live peace, harmony, joy within yourself, nothing else matters. And life is such a glorious, wonderful, peaceful, fulfilling, fantastic experience. Join me on this wonderful adventure, and together we'll ride down the harmonious trails of life, enjoying every nuance, every opportunity, but always being ourselves and having fun, always proclaiming the truth about everything that is good and beautiful, and always knowing, I love you, I love you, I love you.